I have the great privilege of teaching the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. If you would, please turn there. Again, 2 Timothy is a tremendous book, and it's really about this minister. This young minister is going to carry on. The Apostle Paul's come to the end of his days. And it's a personal letter to him. Always keep that in mind. And the things that are in this book are just, they're encouraging. They're heartbreaking. Just so much emotion goes through your heart and head. And like, I couldn't agree more with what Reverend Courtright had said when it comes to the demeanor of what a man, a young man of God, ought to be. Because it says here, it says, I charge thee before the Almighty God, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is my final charge. This is where it comes to. I've taught you what I can teach you. By God's mercy and grace, God has given me the revelation to tell you what you need to do, how you need to handle the church, and now at the end, what you need to do for yourself in order to remain faithful, to complete the work that you've been called to do. These are those words. Now, my final thing is the last thing also that the Lord Jesus Christ said to us before his ascension. The final thing is what's most important. Most important. Christian churches of all different kinds and varieties, the ones that look within, the ones that keep going back within, you always want to fix the stuff that's within. There's always stuff. You ever notice, like laundry? There's always laundry. No matter how much you do, you got more. And it's never ending. My wife tells me it's never ending. Well, so is the stuff that goes on in life. So are the things that go on in a marriage. So are the things that go on among people. All of these things. Don't start putting all your effort on the laundry of life. Put your effort, your heart, your soul on reaching out. A church that reaches out is doing the mission that our Lord and Savior has commissioned us to do. It's got to remain on reaching out. Always. And the charge here, I charge thee before the Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before his kingdom that's coming. With this wonderful kingdom and his appearing that's coming, you preach the word. You go out and you preach this word of God, Timothy. Be instant, in season and out of season. Do it all the time, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, with all patience and doctrine, just like Reverend Courtright taught in chapter 3. The seriousness of life is life and death, but it never reflects, or it should not reflect, in yelling and screaming and stamping your feet, acting like a whining, gotta have it my way kid. I don't know how to paint the picture any better than that. It is serious. It is very serious. But you handle yourself the way I have taught you in this book. You handle yourself in your, because it's the only way God wants it to be done. It's a wonderful way. Just keep your finger there and go to 1 Thessalonians here for a second. Chapter 2. John mentioned this in his teaching, but I really wanted to read some of this section. When Paul walked into Thessalonica, this church received the word of God. And he reminds them how he walked in, what his manner was, and how he walked into that church. He says, "For yourselves, brethren, you know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." You know what it was like, what I was like when I walked in there, because you were there. I'm just reminding you of this. It wasn't in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God. They were shamefully entreated, just like John described in the book of Acts. Shamefully entreated, thrown out. But they came right back into Thessalonica, bold in God. Bold to speak unto you the good news of God with much contention, with a good fight. Much contention is, it was a good fight. See, there is a fight. It's really serious, but it's a good one. What else you got to do in life? What else you got to do in life? It's good to get the blood moving, I think. And they walked in, and there was a good fight in the course of doing the scripture, but that fight never turned them harsh or bitter. In fact, he says here, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. I didn't do any half-truths with you. I didn't try to deceive you when I spoke to you. There was no guile in it. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we spake, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts." We just speak the simple, wonderful, beautiful truth because we're speaking for God. And let the chips fall where they may. Be kind. Bring someone, you're going to speak to people who believe all kinds of things. It's okay. Why don't you just walk up to them, and as you get into the conversation and they bring something up, say to them, "Well, did you ever consider what the scripture says here? I read this not too long ago." Bring it to them that way, instead of saying, "Oh, that's devilish." I mean, that's going to work real well. Just bring it to them. Just speak it. Don't be ashamed of it. Speak it. Point to it where it is in the scripture. It's not my opinion. This is what it says here. The Word of God gives you everything that you need. And just testified to the truth. So they didn't walk in trying to please men, but God, which tries their heart. "Neither use they at any time flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness." God is witness. They didn't flatter people. We didn't bait them. "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Paul didn't even use the fact that he was an apostle. He didn't even use that authority that he had. He had the ability to live off of the abundant sharing when he walked into town. This is all, he's entitled to this from God. But you know what? He never even burdened them with that. It was all about just, let me speak the message. Let me speak the message. And he did whatever. Just like the Lord said, if somebody invites you in, whatever they put before you, eat it. You know, they don't invite you, do something else. Paul was a saddle maker. What he did, he made saddles for a living. And there was times when he lived off of the abundant sharing of the people, and there were times when he chose and thought it right that he was not going to. It says here, verse 6, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child, even as a nursing mother. When that baby is up against that woman's breast, I want to tell you, they're not kicking and screaming and having a real bad day. They're about in the safest, warmest, most comfortable, loving place in life. And Paul acted that way with God's people. It says, so being affectionately desirous of you, I was so in love, so affectionately desirous of you, God's people, that we were willing to have imparted unto you not the word, the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor. For we labored and travail. For we labored night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his child, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Two great, wonderful pictures here among much information. A mother and a father. That's how we deal with the people. There are times when you yell at somebody because they're going to fall out the door. And there are times when you just hug them and hold them and love them and care for them. And just like a mom and a dad raise their children, that's how a minister is to deal with the church. There's no such thing as throwaway children. There's no such thing as abandonment. There's no such thing as, you know, not in a Christian home, brutality. All the things that can go wrong in families. But a true, loving father-mother relationship, that kind of care and concern is how. That's the demeanor. Even when the church is going downhill, even when everything is almost lost, this is how you walk, this is how you act, because it's the way God commands it to be. And that's difficult. That's why I know when I taught that chapter in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, where it says in 1 Timothy, let me just take you there for a second. I'm not going to take too much more of your time going over what we've already done. But in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, I will therefore that men, that these husbands pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That word doubting, I believe we talked about, and escapes me. Just went brain dead for the moment. Debating. Without debating. See, without wrath. You can do this. You can minister to the people of God. You can minister to them, and then you can start to sit there and say, why don't they get it? Why don't they get it? You can be disappointed. Time and time and time and time and time again. Why do they keep doing the same things? And you can, just like a father, get very, very, very crazy, angry, because of the disobedience or lack of wisdom or lack of maturity that you really believe ought to be there. That's why that word wrath. You do everything that you can in the ministry. You do everything the way you're told to do it. And let it go. God will take care of it. You obey Him, His way, and no wrath, and don't even debate yourself about the issue. Just keep living your life. Do everything that you can to move the word. The laundry will always be there. Go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, patience, and doctrine. Just like we saw in 2 Thessalonians. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There is a time that comes, has come, continues to be here, because we are in these last days, that they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, their own desires, they'll go shopping. This is when people go shopping. They go shopping, and they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They go to find a place where they like what they hear more than they're concerned about whether it is the Word of God or not. And I can't tell you how often this happens. You're going to find out. If you just started out in your Christianity, you'll find out soon enough. If you've been around a while, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've seen people leave wonderful biblical-based churches just because the music wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to go sing someplace. So they leave. They don't care about the doctrine. They don't care about the thing God cares about. They care about something else. A desire that they have. Or if someone says, you know, if you hang around me long enough, I'll offend you. If you haven't figured that out by now, that's the truth. I offend a lot of people. I don't want to, but I do. Right? Hang around me long enough, I'll yell at you, right? But is that one incident worth? Just think about this. Is that one incident worth going out and quitting on what you got? It's like if your mom or dad got angry at you, let's say, one day unjustly, would you leave the family? Go jump a freight train? Become a hobo? Obviously not. And the same kind of thing, same kind of understanding needs to be. So many people that left as I learned the scriptures in my own personal life, I've had a learning curve. Things I have learned. And you know, when you first start learning something, you can't quite articulate it as well as you would like to. And you can't quite explain everything as well as you would like to. And people would take offense, walk away. But if they had stayed, they would be so much more wonderfully blessed. So, so enriched. But these, it tells us that this is going to happen. It's not a surprise. But just, ladies and gentlemen, no church, this church, my church, any church, no church has the right to tell you, no minister of us has the right to tell you that we got the truth. You know, we got the truth. Nobody else has got it. I don't think that that's available. I think Paul could say it. I think he's the last man. Maybe Timothy. I think that's the end. I think the rest of us, as I said before, we're students of the Bible. We're students. And you have to be patient. But always seek to know the truth. Always seek to know the Word. Never, never, never drop the Scriptures and the Word of God because, well, I don't like that they're talking about sin. I don't like that they're talking about sin and that I have to have a responsibility in my Christian walk. I don't like that. I'm going to go over there. They don't tell me that. They just sing nice songs, pretty songs, happy songs. We're just happy. Don't ever allow yourself to do it because it's a trick of the devil. But it will happen. So what do you do? Preach the word. All the time. You choose to preach the word. And they will turn away their ears from that truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, Timothy. You endure. You do the work of an evangelist. You make full proof of thy ministry. See, Timothy was not an evangelist. But do the work of an evangelist. That was what was needed. There's no such thing as, well, this is what I do, by the way, in service. Okay? This is what I do. You are the cook and bottle wash person. I am the teacher person. Disqualified Christian service, disqualified as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do what's in front of you. You do what's needed. When the chairs need setting up, you help. When the floor needs cleaning, you help. When the food needs to be cooked, you cook. When something else needs to be done, you do that. Just like a family. And when there's nobody to teach, you go out and win them. You do the work of an evangelist. And an evangelist, by the way, is not the people that you see on TV. That's not that we call them evangelists, you know, these great, wonderful guys who just preach from the pulpit and bring people down to the altar. That's not what Paul's talking about. An evangelist is someone who goes out and he has a wonderful gift of winning people, and even more precisely, he has a great gift of helping others to win people, to reach people. Make full proof of this. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You do everything that you can. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, that look forward for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's time has come to an end. His life is over. It's a heartbreaker, isn't it? I think it's even greater a heartbreaker because all that he has done, all the beatings that he has received, all of the great trials and all of the stuff that he has gone through for the work of God has come to nothing. It's come to nothing. and he's going to die knowing that. And yet, he faithfully loves this young man, tells him everything that he needs to know. And Paul just says, you know what? It's all about what's me keeping the faith. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And that is what's important. I don't know what our lives are going to look like. I pray that they're filled with peace. I pray that this church grows into one that reaches thousands. I pray that all do well. I pray that there's another great renaissance of understanding in Scripture. I pray for great and wonderful things. I'm excited to live in this day and time. I really am. I'm looking forward to the fight. I'm looking forward to be able to preach the Scriptures. But I don't know what it's going to look like. Just like John said, I don't know. When I started going to fellowship, you know, I was kind of like a whacked out guy. But I was there for a while. I sat in that fellowship and I was loving God and loving His Word and doing the things. And I was watching God work. I was watching miracles in my life. And all of a sudden, one day I went to fellowship, and the man who had taught me all of this stuff, he was in the middle of the teaching, and he closed his Bible. Jeff was his name. I love him so dearly. He closed his Bible and he said, "You people ought to go home, because I really don't believe this anymore. Just go home." And if you know anything about me, I didn't go home. I didn't know what to do, but I knew it wasn't about him. So I was watching God work in my life. I knew I was sitting in his home, and he was sharing the Scriptures with me, but I knew it wasn't about him. So I said to my brother, my younger brother, "You've been in the Word longer than anybody else here. You finished the teaching." And Jeff got up and walked out of his house. And my brother stumbled through the teaching. My brother Kevin stumbled through the teaching. And then I said to everybody, "I don't know about you, but I'm coming here on Tuesdays of fellowship, aren't you?" So next Tuesday night, we all showed up at Jeff's house again. He said, "What are you all doing here?" I said, "I don't know what you're doing, but we're having fellowship." And we stayed there about 3, 4, 5 months. Jeff just left. But like I said, you had to know me back then. It's about God. It's not about the people. People come and go. I want things to be. I pray for things. I desire it. But it's about God. You never quit on Him. People sin. People fall short. The ministry comes. The ministry goes. Hey, I don't care what's going on. You keep the faith. You keep the faith. Your God has sent His Son to die for you. Don't you ever turn your back on that. Curse the day you were born before you ever do that. You keep the faith. Maybe you won't know everything in life. Join the club. You keep the faith. You keep the faith. And you keep meek inside. That continue to ask God to help teach you and nurture you. And if there's something that you need to know, He will make sure you know it in His own good time, not yours. He's got you on a curriculum. He's your Father, and He's guiding you through this life. Paul's gone. Coming to an end, but he kept the faith. And he is looking forward to the crown of righteousness. He is looking forward to that day. He knows that when his eyes close for the last time in his life, the next thing he's going to see is the Lord face to face. This is not bad. Not bad at all. Boy, just think about this, folks. Because that's all that counts. It doesn't count what it looks like. Gain is not godliness. Paul is not a tripped out, screwed up, no good preacher that lost his church. He did it right. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Come soon, son. For Demas, he hath forsaken me. Demas is recorded in Colossians chapter 4. Demas was one of Paul's companions as he walked through the records in the book of Acts. He's forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And that's another heartbreaker. Because here you have a former leader who has turned away from the gospel, turned away from the man who taught him, and now he's going to infect the church at Thessalonica. And Cestrus to Galatia. And the thing that's unbelievable to me, Titus, he's forsaken me too. He's going to Dalmatia. Titus, maybe that's the reason there is no second book of Titus. You read the book of Titus, and you start to see the quality of the people who Paul's talking about here that have walked away from the ministry. You start to see the horrendous damage and what must have just ripped his soul apart. Thinking about this, a man who he also called a true son, a true child in the faith. But Luke, only Luke is with me. Take John Mark, that's John Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring it with thee. And the books, especially the parchments, especially the scrolls, the Word of God, bring it with you. Alexander the coppersmith, the same one was at Diana of the Ephesians, that record. He's also the same one in 1 Timothy chapter 1, who Paul delivers unto Satan. Obviously, this delivering unto Satan didn't mean he went to hell quickly. It didn't mean that he was 6 feet under. But he was delivered unto Satan. This man is still around. And it says, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. You know, that's when you read like Romans and it says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You just let it go. The Lord will take care of business. The Lord repay him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware? He's still around and he's hunting for you. You be aware of him. For he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, when I was first accused, when I first was brought up on these charges, nobody was there to stand with me. I think that's why he's where he's at. See, it's just the opposite in court here in this country. You're presumed innocent till proven guilty. There, you're guilty until you can prove your innocence. And when it came down, they were ashamed of the gospel. They were ashamed of Paul. Nobody'd even stand up for his defense when it first happened. Is that the way it's going to be? Could be. People that you love, people that you care for. You know, I think about it a lot. Like, you have a wonderful minister and the men that are here, but especially Reverend Finnegan. Somebody walks in, starts bad-mouthing him. Is there nobody who's going to come to his defense? I got that going on in my own church at home. Is there nobody going to say, what are you talking about? Shut up. He's a good man. You got a problem with him? Go talk to him. Don't talk to me. Boy, if that happened, we'd have a whole lot less problems. They didn't stand up for Paul. They forsook me. But I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. When I think of the record, I think of this when it came to Moses and his sister and Aaron. God was not happy. I don't think the Lord would be real happy with the believers that didn't stand up for Paul. But he prays that it's not laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. See, the Lord stood with me. And this is where it's all about. It's you and God Almighty, folks. The Lord stood with Paul and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. It must have been a horrendous charge. And I heard that John read you about that history of what was going on there. No one stood up for Paul to the end that he was almost put in with the lions. But he said, the Lord delivered me. That wasn't quite done yet. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I still can't believe it when it ends this way. The final letter to his son, his best young man. And you know what Paul's still doing in his death row cell? Say hi to Aquila and Priscilla for me. Tell them I love them. You salute them, the household of Onesiphorus. Oh, and I wish these guys had normal names. Erastus abodes at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at whatever, and he's sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubutus greeteth thee, and Pudin, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. What a book. I'd like to take you back to the first verse again. I wanted to get through the book. I wanted to read all of it. I wanted you to see the heart that this man has. I wanted to see his environment that he's going through. But mostly I wanted to see what was going on through his heart. Through his heart. The love for the family of God that he had all the way to the end. The prayers for those who even betrayed him. Just like Jesus betrayed Jesus Christ. You just get to see a lot in this letter. You get to see this man like you never get to see him any other time. He's a human being with the same feelings, with the same desires that every single one of us have. And yet he has so controlled his life. He has so controlled his heart and mind. His purpose is so sharp in his own heart and mind that nothing else matters. And he says to Timothy, the last great charge, you preach the word of God. You preach this word. And this is the word, as I said to you before, that our Lord told us. You preach it all the time. You preach it when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. The one great call, our commissioning, is to preach the gospel. Don't turn within. Go to Mark for a second. Mark 16. Just to refresh your heart and refresh your memory. And maybe these words will be heard in your own heart in a little bit different way. In Mark chapter 16, just before our Lord ascends, he gives us the commission. Paul took it literally. Literally. The purpose of his life was this. Can you say that right now in your mind and your heart? Is the purpose of your whole life, having your Lord Savior died for you, knowing all that you know, boil it down, the purpose of my life is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Then, has God saved you? Has he saved you? Preach the gospel. Preach it. All of this was done to save you and me. Literally carry out what it says. Carry out and obey the commands of our Lord, as Paul did, as he charged Timothy to do. And never read these verses like they're impersonal again in your life. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that is baptized and is He that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. It's that quick. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. You hold it forth the way God has taught you in the scripture. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they shall take up a serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But preach the gospel. Just keep doing it. Acts chapter 1. And this was their mission. This is our calling. This is our life. And I know we all work, and I know we all put food on the table, but that don't mean you can't preach the gospel. I want everybody in here, just make up your mind, make up your mind, make up your mind. You're going to talk to people. You're going to do what the Lord has called you to do. And you're going to pray. First, pray that God gives you a heart to understand this, a heart to take it personal, and just win one person. Go out and call up Aunt Susie. Go call Joey. Go call up the man that you've been trying to deal with for a long time. Go call and talk to that kid. You just pick them in your mind, in your heart. You ask God, show me the one person. Concentrate on that one person. Pray for that person. And then go and preach the gospel. And whatever happens, happens. But you're going to go preach the gospel to them. And they may believe, they may not believe. But that's one down. And then go find somebody else. Then just go find somebody else. Pray and ask and just do it. Do it like you need to do this. Go have dinner with them. Go sit down on the stoop. Most of you don't even know what a stoop is. Go sit down in front of your house and talk with them the scriptures. Just talk with them. Let God work within your soul. Every day, pray that you get a chance to speak. Every day, this is your purpose. This is why you got up in the morning today. This is why you're alive. And just ask. And if you do, and you really mean, God will give you opportunity. And I don't know if you'll win one, or if you'll win 1,000, but I can tell you this, your life will be exciting. That I can tell you. It will be filled with excitement and wonder. It will be filled with anticipation and God working in your soul. Because you're His child doing the commission that the Lord set to do. At that same exact hour, Jesus Christ said in verse 8 of Acts 1, "Be you, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And they did it exactly the way the Lord said, even in the places that the Lord said. You know what? You've got the power. You've been enabled. You are not doing this on your own. The Comforter has come. You have got Christ in you. He is with you all the time. His counsel is with you. And you've got everything that you need to do this job. And I don't care, like John says, if everyone else is gone, you've got the enablement. You've got everything you need. You are fully equipped to be the man and the woman of God that He has called and sent His Son to die for. You've got it. Walk out with that confidence and keep the faith, folks. Keep the faith. Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Help us to preach the word, my God. Help us to understand the scriptures. Help us most of all to preach the word. Help us to carry out our calling and to do the work that you've sent us to do. You've saved us. You have delivered us. You have given us every breath that we've taken. You've given us every joyful day that we've had. We owe you so much, Father. Help us to make you proud of us. Help us to walk in your love, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you all. It's been a real joy.